Hello, welcome to this week's Therapy for Me. And I want to try something a little bit different this week. And I don't know if it's going to work. And I'm going to try and link a couple of things that have been floating around and see if I can get them into a broader kind of narrative, a broader kind of story arc, or see what there is that joins these things together. And it may not work. And so I'm going to get rid of the days and I'm just going to talk in snippets. So it kind of will be one piece of consciousness, which is why I'm concerned it won't work. And I haven't planned it. I'm doing it all. I do this all kind of off the cuff anyway, but this is really, really off the cuff. It's literally struck me in the last 30 seconds. So wish me luck. I'll see you on the other side and hopefully we'll get somewhere with it. Anyway, before any of that, we need a little bit of that twangy guitar. So it all starts with Donner Digital Pianos. And that is Donner, which is a brand that's kind of sprung out of nowhere and is very, very prevalent on Amazon. And once you get past all the kind of kebab jokes, because obviously everybody's going to do that at the beginning, then you get onto something that's really serious. And it's part of me really worrying for the sector, the retail sector, or the sector that I work within, because I've always worked within musical instruments. And in an internet age, the market has been shifting, really, really shifting to an online model. Now, at the beginning, none of us thought that would happen. We all assumed that people wanted to try an instrument before they bought it. So the idea that you would spend hundreds of pounds, thousands of pounds on an instrument and buy it online without having seen it was derided as being absolute nonsense. So for a long time, that gave us some comfort. That yes, there'd be some stuff online, but it would be kind of non-branded stuff and it wouldn't really affect and it would be a little annoyance over there. And those people weren't buying from the sector anyway. Those were the people that, if you go back far enough, would have bought from the Grattan's catalogue or bought from the Argos catalogue or potentially, you know, would have bought from Currys or whatever it was. So it was never really worried about or concerned about that much. But of course, everything's moved on. Everything's moved on to a point where in reality, all you need is something that looks like a piano or a guitar or a trombone or a drum kit or whatever it might be. And you just need it to have a prime style level of delivery service. And you need it to have thousands and thousands of 4 or 5 star reviews. And that's what's happened in our space. So what we've got now is we've got kind of two markets going on. We've got the market we know with all the brands that we know, with all the traditional brands that are in the music industry, and some of them you will have heard of them, some of them you won't. But the fact is that if you're a muso, you know Roland and you know Yamaha and you know Fender and you know Gibson and you know Kawai and you know and the list goes on and on. You know Ibanez and you know Marshall and yada yada yada. But there's a whole section of the population that's not even dipping their toe in that particular space, because that particular space is marketed directly by the manufacturers, by a few influencers, and by a decreasing number of retail stores. So for a vast majority of people, that you get to that product via, you know, via Amazon. That's where you go, and depending on the country you live in, that's the platform that you use is tied into the area, the locale in which you live. So obviously for us in Western Europe, particularly in the UK, Amazon is the one, but there'll be plenty of others, be it Alibaba, whatever it might be, that are your route to that stuff. So you're going on and you're looking at loads of reviews and you're buying something that in reality has no history and no heritage, but what it does have is it has a blueprint. It's been designed over years and years and years by various companies. It's been designed. It's relatively easy to copy. So you can buy something that looks like a piano. Now, here's my concern. I mean, there's lots of concerns with that. And there's lots of concerns for the space that I live in and the look and you know, what the building blocks of the space that I work in. But let me give you an example. I was looking at the range of Donna pianos on Amazon, and how big that particular, you know, effectively non-brand, that soft brand has become. And I did the thing then. I thought, right, well, who's selling on the back of Donna? Because what you would look at with Amazon is you might search for a, you know, a Ninja air fryer, and then you would look at all the range of Alphabet air fryers that then look exactly the same, are a third of the cost, and you go through those and you see very much how that market works. So I thought, well, let's take that stage further. Let's look at Donna, and then let's look at what there is that's selling off the back of Donna. So selling off the back of the soft brand or the non-brand, if you like. And I found a piano that was by a brand called Lalaho, L-A-L-A-H-O. And the graphics are great. The lifestyle imagery is great. It all looks fantastic. It looks like a piano from the outside looking in. Nice little video. If you know nothing about musical instruments, you will go, well, that's a piano. And it's £199. Now, the fact of the matter is, this is a piece of furniture. You shouldn't be able to buy a piano for that kind of money. That tells you exactly all you need to know about it as an instrument, but it looks like the thing it should look like. So then I thought, right, well, the key to this is the review. So let's go down to the reviews. And the third review down, it's entitled, "It's on the positive side of OK." And I'm going to read you exactly as it was written. "Was at my door within 2 days. There we are, that's the Prime delivery service. Set up really easily and has its own inbuilt speakers. Everything is fine other than the fact it sometimes doesn't register a key being pressed, so it doesn't make a sound. Open brackets every so often, close brackets. Otherwise, it's great." Now, that's a 4-star review of a piano that every once in a while doesn't make a noise when you press a key, which is its primary reason for being. But that's still a 4-star review. The issue isn't necessarily the nonsense, though the nonsense in of itself is legendary. The issue is the sheer amount of noise that's come out from the White House in such a short period of time. And of course, it goes all the way back. It goes all the way back to the point when he'd won the election. He didn't wait, didn't have the good grace to wait for this tsunami of noise until he got into power. It started way back in the way back. And it's got everything to do with his picks, and it's got everything to do with pushing all the policies he's talked about. But in this week alone, over the weekend, we had a ridiculous amount of noise about tariffs. And then we've had everything that goes along with having Netanyahu as the first foreign leader to visit you at the White House. And then everything that was said about the US effectively taking over Gaza, taking ownership of the Gaza Strip, and the opportunities that would provide for some form of, you know, Vegas-style development with Palestinians being moved somewhere, but very little spoken about that. That's probably, of the noise and everything that's come out, that's probably been the most outrageous so far. But you don't have to go back very far to find other examples of outrageous, you know, including hiring policies, D&I hiring policies that are effectively bringing about air crashes. So it's on overdrive this time round. It was bad last time round, but it's absolutely on overdrive this time round. Of course, the issue is that the internet has broken all the traditional funding models. It's broken all the traditional ways of doing business. And it's pushed us into a space where you are just overwhelmed with information, and it makes it very, very difficult to make a decision or even to know if you've made the right decision. It's very, very difficult as a piano buyer or as a musician or as a potential musician or as somebody who's buying on behalf of a budding musician to actually make a decision that you're comfortable with, because it takes an enormous amount of work. And of course, when you're overwhelmed and you have no way of curating that particular journey, then you end up doing the thing that you do, which is you pick something and you assume that if it's got a decent set of peer reviews that you're going to be okay. Of course, that isn't what used to happen. When retail was a model that was viable, the first port of call for most people when you were buying an instrument, particularly if you were buying it for a son or a daughter or whoever it might be, would have been a music store. You would have gone and you would have spoken with a human being. And it's not just about musical instruments, it's about a whole raft of things. Now, obviously, convenience plays a part in that. And obviously, I'd be the first person to say that a lot of music stores, particularly rock and roll music stores, weren't particularly great places to go in. They could be quite daunting. They were a little bit nichey, a little bit nerdy, a little bit, somewhere. I mean, it's the same as, you know, a cycle shop or a fishing shop or any number of places. If you didn't know anything, you felt like you were constantly going to be reminded of the fact that you didn't know anything. You didn't have skin in the game, and that would be something that would come back, and you would, you know, you would feel very much like an outsider. And that's absolutely the case. But ultimately, when you got over that barrier, when you started down that journey, what you unlocked was a lot of information, and you were able to quantify what you were looking at. You were able to make informed decisions. You built up that knowledge base that you need. And let's face it, we all need a knowledge base. Whatever the subject matter is, we need a knowledge base. So you can flick from global politics to musical instruments to fishing rods to whatever, you know, be it makeup, it doesn't really matter. We all need a level of knowledge. And at some point you have to start to build that level of knowledge up. And yes, you can do it all on your own in a room with a computer. But do you know what? At some point you need to get that fact checked. You need somebody to help you make sense of that. And retail stores were a great way of doing that. Now, of course, that model has fundamentally broken. The way that, you know, a retail store would finance itself, which is the difference between the price of what it pays for a good and what it sells a good for, that is now broken beyond repair. And that's what the visibility of the internet has done. Because in reality, the fact that that piano I was telling you about earlier on, £199, for what looks like a piece of furniture, it's not even a stage piano, it looks like a piece of furniture, that shouldn't exist. That shouldn't be possible. If I go back to when I started playing guitar, the first guitar I anchored over was a Marlin Sidewinder, and it was about £199. And that would be in 1985, 1986. Now, a starter guitar package in 2025 is £99. So that's double what I paid for my first guitar without the amp and the strap and the strings and all the other stuff, you know, the paraphernalia that now comes with it. That shouldn't be possible. That absolutely shouldn't be possible. Now, part of that, you could say, is improvements in production technique and all those kind of things, and we've driven costs down and yada, yada, yada. And that's absolutely true. But part of it is actually down to the fact that we've squeezed all of the life, all of the margin, all of the blood out of the mechanism that was providing you that help and that support and that reassurance. And so where we find ourselves today is a situation where you're going to end up with no alternative but this cacophony of noise, this sheer overload of instruments when you go on and you try and purchase, all with names that you can't pronounce and you don't know. And that's down to the fact that they're just an odd combination of letters, nothing more than that. But that you can't understand and you can't make any sense out of, because the alternative routes effectively has been priced out. What's unlocked this for me is an article I read by Ian Dunt this week, and he was talking about what's happened in his sector, which is journalism. And he was talking about everything that was going on in terms of noise, be it noise from the White House or noise from wherever. And he was talking about what's happened to journalism. And since journalism effectively has become free in the internet age, and that there are two routes now for information, which is the free route where you get your news, but it's very watered down and it's surrounded by clickbait and it's surrounded by video ads and it's very difficult to get to, or decent, well-written pieces which are behind paywalls. So for all the news outlets that have gone down the paywall route because they wanted to ensure the quality and the credibility of their journalism, all of which is to be applauded. There's no doubt in that. But what's happened there is that's become something that's only being accessed by a small group of people, by a small community. So you've got a small community who are paying money to get well-written, well-researched, to get at the information they need to, in that sense, curate the world. And then you're getting everybody else who is just getting snippets, who is getting anything that pushes you in a direction that will get you into some form of ad revenue or something that potentially is going to bring that outlet in what is required to keep it running, to make it profitable, to give it its lifeblood, so to speak. And it's a hugely fascinating article, and it talks to the reasons why the media is so happy that we have Trump back, or was so happy when we had Johnson in number 10, because that tsunami of noise and nonsense, that is easy, cheap content, and that then, that drives you to the articles about checking for prostate cancer or belly fat or what a celebrity, you know, who used to be in Hollyoaks looks like now. That's what drives all of that, that behaviour, which we all find ourselves doing, that lazy, been distracted, ADHD-inducing behaviour. And yet, the real stuff is still going on. It's just going on to a very small number of people over there somewhere else, not really being accessed. And the parallel then is with my sector, which is there are some great independent retail stores selling properly priced musical instruments. And by properly priced, I mean that when I was, you know, saving up for my first guitar, I was also working on a fruit and veg stall on the market, and I used to go in at 7 in the morning and finish at midday, and I'd be given £6 for bagging potatoes all day. So I'm at £1 and a bit an hour at a point when my guitar's £199. So you can work out that I need to do 40 shifts to pay for that guitar. Josh, by comparison, who's a little bit older than I was, but not by an enormous amount, could go out and could buy that £99 guitar package on the back of 3 shifts. Now, that's a huge gulf in terms of, if you want the context of the value of that instrument and what getting into that marketplace costs. And as I said before, it's not that the instrument was that much better. It probably was, but it probably wasn't that much better. And some of those improvements are to be, you know, championed because it potentially gets more people picking up musical instruments. But the fact of the matter is that guitar has now become a throwaway commercial consumer transaction in a way it was a really considered purchase years and years and years ago that involved me wanting to get a second opinion and some trust, and I wanted to go places to find out more about it. Whereas now it's just a click. It's just a click. And that's where we absolutely find ourselves. Now, of course, you're waiting for me to tell you who's to blame. And the fact of the matter is, I don't think the internet is to blame. I think we're to blame. I think we're to blame a couple of things. I think we're to blame because we've let it happen. And actually, it was all so predictable. And I think you can take what I'm talking about and you can take it out to any space that people's lives, and you will find people that are turning around going, there are so many consequences of where we are with this transparency, with this visibility, and they're not necessarily giving us what we wanted, and actually all we're doing is making things so much harder. But the fact is that we need to give ourselves the ability to educate ourselves. We need to break down where we are, and we need to demand information that allows us to make qualified decisions. And if that means that we have to pay more for things, then we just have to pay more for things, because if not, all of this is going to carry on. Trump will continue to fill every bit of available space with the kind of things that he is doing now. Because while you're trying to fathom all of that and not being able to do it, and you're listening to all these proclamations and all these declarations and all these wild and wacky ideas, you're missing the important things that are happening totally somewhere else that are going to affect your future. Nobody in the US is going to be any better off on the back of what that man is going to do for the next 4 years, but you are going to be persuaded that you are, and you are going to have your mind changed and manipulated to make you think that whatever's happened is better than what's happened before, even though in a large number of cases it absolutely won't be. As a musician, you're not going to be playing an instrument that's any better. You're not going to be moving forward. You're not going to be getting what you could out of that incredible, incredible hobby and way of spending your time, because it's happening to you in isolation in front of a screen. You need the places to go to. You need people to talk to. You need a community to work within. And you need to be able to educate yourself. And the routes to educating yourself on whatever topic it would be are becoming really difficult to access and really, really blurred, or they're becoming hidden behind paywalls. And that has to stop. We need to find a way of reinventing what we do in an internet age that means that everybody gets paid and rewarded for what they do. And the information that we all crave is available to us. And what it might mean, it might mean that we can't have as much of the things that we're getting at the moment, but we can have a much better experience when we get them. And that much better experience might also involve who's actually running the country that you live in. Quite possibly. Because if not, this playbook is just going to lead to rinse and repeat on so many levels, and we're constantly going to be searching for something we're never, ever going to find. Right. I feel better for that. So whatever happens, it has done what it says on the tin for me today. I hope it hangs together. It is two disparate examples, but let me know if it makes any sense to you at all. And there's so much I've not said. And if I planned it out, it would have lasted twice as long and it would have been far better constructed. But as I say, you've got it from the hip. Anyway, I hope you're well. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Try and find a little bit of peace. And if you can, just try and find a little bit of something that makes sense.
If you've enjoyed Therapy for Me, then please subscribe and share as you see fit. This has been an A Short Stories production.